This is Gene Montrestelli, and welcome to the Tapping Q&A podcast, recorded live to tape from the Charm City, Baltimore, Maryland. This is episode number 111, originally aired May 15th, 2013. Hi, everyone. I hope this finds you well wherever you are and whatever time you are taking to listen to this. We really appreciate you spending some time with us today. Before we jump into today's episode, it's been a really long time since we have talked about this, but on the website over at tappingqna.com, we have a free 10-part guide to help you to stop self-sabotage. And it's a unique combination of audios, of videos, of tapping scripts, of tap-along audios, of articles, of tools that you can use right now. It's absolutely free of charge. To get that today and get started on it, it kind of rolls out over a number of days, so you can get a few steps along the way. All you need to do is go to tappingqna.com/guide, and you will get signed up for that. Lots of really amazing resources, all of them absolutely free. I took some of the best from the site and curated them in such a way that it's going to help you to deal with self-sabotage. And from the beginning, you will see an immediate difference when you start using step number one. By the time you're done with them all, you'll see a huge change in your life. tappingqna.com/guide. Now, today's podcast is an interview with Sue Beer. We talk about smoking. Smoking is a really obviously tricky issue to deal with. It becomes a lifestyle. It's not just a habit. It becomes something that pierces your day in lots and lots of ways. It becomes very much a part of who you are. We talk about some specific examples of people who get caught up in smoking, not for the nicotine itself, but other things that happen. And Sue offers some really great advice on how you can approach smoking with EFT. So here is my interview with Sue Beer. How originally did you get interested in working with EFT and smoking issues?
Well, the whole area of quitting smoking is something that interested me because I found it a very difficult thing to do myself. Mm-hmm. And in actual fact, I did, over a period of years, probably on and off about 10 years, I did actually manage to completely free myself from the smoking habit. But that was before EFT. And what's kind of fascinated me since then is how much easier it would have been if EFT had been around. And so I've kind of developed ways to, having sort of understood the way that the mind works to kind of keep you in that sort of tricky smoking habit, and then also added EFT to that, I think what we've got now is a very effective way of working with smoking. And actually, having said all that, some smoking problems are actually quite simple and straightforward. So, you know, you don't actually need to sort of take a hammer to crack a walnut, but if you're working on your own smoking issue, especially if you've stopped and started several times, you might find that it's become, you know, absolutely complicated. And that's fine because there are ways that we can apply EFT to all degrees of complexity with smoking, really.
And so just from your experience, how would you compare and contrast the effectiveness of EFT to other approaches in initially stopping and then kind of getting long-term relief from the habit?
Well, I think EFT comes top of the list for me. And I'm somebody that sort of, you know, accumulated quite a lot of different techniques and methodologies along the way, you know, through psychotherapy, NLP, hypnotherapy. I've always been interested in, you know, what works, you know, what really does help people to effect change. And if I had to sort of make a list, EFT would definitely come top. There's absolutely no question about it.
And in the beginning, you were talking a little bit there about this idea of degrees of complexity with dealing with something like a habit like smoking. Mm-hmm. What does degrees of complexity look like? Because, you know, for me, it's you smoke or you don't. What does complexity look like?
Yeah. Have you ever smoked, Gene?
No, I have. I've had two cigars in my mouth in my entire life.
Okay. So for somebody like you, it really does seem like, well, you either smoke or you don't smoke. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, a large proportion of people are like that. But if you're kind of one of the people who has real difficulty quitting smoking, then it can become unbelievably all-consuming, taking up every waking moment of your thinking about, you know, how are you gonna stop smoking. Stopping and starting, sometimes, you know, even several times during the day. You know, typical thing is that somebody will buy, you know, a packet of 10 cigarettes, and because they buy 10, not 20, because they're going to stop, you know, this is the last 10. And then they find that they go out and then they buy another 10 and then another 10 and then another 10. I've had people come to me as clients who were smoking so much and so completely often without a break from it, that this one guy was smoking in the bath, for heaven's sake.
And so when you're talking about complexity, you're talking about the nature of the smoking itself, or are you talking about the reasons for the smoking that's happening?
The complexity of undoing the problem.
Okay.
Is what we're really talking about here. Some people will... There'll be smokers and they'll just decide that they want to stop, and maybe they haven't ever tried to stop before. And if they approach it with EFT in a fairly simple way, which, you know, I can run through with you, they will probably be able to stop just like that, really, really easily. And that's what I would say is, you know, is a simple smoking problem. And the tapping just makes it so much easier, and it makes it so much easier to have, you know, long-term freedom, because there's much less likelihood of experiencing, you know, severe cravings. It's possible to sort of have total freedom rather than, you know, managing the problem and feeling like any moment you're going to, you know, tip back into it. So that's kind of on one end of the spectrum. I would say that's not complex at all. It's, you know, great. You just decide that you're going to stop, use the tapping. It will really help you to do that quickly and easily. And then as you know, with the examples of, you know, the guy smoking in the bath, that's when the smoking has become really, really kind of, you know, complicated. And it's like the more you try and get out of it, the more that you feel stuck in it. You know, until you find something like EFT and an effective way of applying it. And I think it will work for even the most kind of complex problems.
And so when you're talking about complexity, what it sounds like to me is you're talking about kind of how much has the habit knit its fabric into my life. The more ways that it's knit its way into it, the harder it is going to be to extricate, because it's not just something that's happening occasionally, but happens in lots of settings for lots of reasons and lots of ways.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way of putting it. And I think one of the problems with smoking is that it's kind of insidious, in that, you know, people don't, you know, you don't lose your house over it necessarily. You don't lose your job over it necessarily, in the same way that somebody that's run into real trouble with, you know, with alcohol or you know, or crack cocaine or something. It's kind of it's sort of in the background, but it can be you know, just as painful and sort of soul destroying. But it's a kind of, you know, it's often a kind of silent suffering
that, yeah,
doesn't seem obvious to anybody that's kind of never been there.
And certainly, I mean, I think it, besides the health problems and long-term problems like that, I think it's really easy for us to underestimate what it's like to have something that's constantly nagging in the background that needs to be fed all of the time.
Yeah.
And how you have to, when it's serious, you're literally arranging your entire day around dealing with this need that needs to be fed in some capacity.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And another thing is that it doesn't necessarily have to do with the number of cigarettes that you smoke. Now, I'm thinking of an example of somebody else that I worked with who only ever actually smoked one cigarette a day. Well, I think maybe she'd smoke more at some point, but she'd got it down to one. But over a period of years, she had only had that one a day, but her whole life was spent waiting to have that one cigarette, which was, it was always after her evening meal. And her life was actually literally on hold until that sort of moment of waiting. She was allowed herself to have the cigarette. And you see, at a kind of deeper level in our our kind of truth, that kind of constriction and limitation of ourselves is agony. We can't really tolerate living in that kind of small way.
And I could see just being a really powerful thing, being able to acknowledge something like that, because I can imagine that some people who are dealing with this are only thinking of it in terms of, well, I need to stop because of the scolding looks or the health benefits, and might not even think about naming as an issue this constant need that's in the background. That I can see it being empowering, just recognizing the fact that this is part of the issue that we're dealing with, not only is what it's doing to me, but how it just consumes energy and time.
Exactly, and I've kind of come to think that sometimes it's almost like the sort of the habit or the addiction or whatever we want to call it is sort of like forcing us to recognize that we need to live in a kind of freer, bigger way. And so, quitting smoking for some people can be that absolute turning point, like literally the making of them. And not only do they stop smoking, but they kind of get other things that they may never have even thought that they'd be capable of achieving, and living in a much kind of happier, freer way.
So if someone is wanting to do this, they've recognized that this is something they want to change, they know the basics of EFT. Is this one of those issues that are I tap on my own issues, or is this an issue where it's essential that I work with a practitioner because of the complexity of it? Like, how does one start to tap for smoking cessation?
Yeah, I think that it's very possible to work on it yourself. As really with anything with EFT and tapping, if you're applying it to yourself and you find that you're just getting stuck and you're not going anywhere, that's when it's really useful to see a creative and experienced practitioner. But I absolutely believe in using EFT for yourself. I think that's kind of the whole point of it, really. Even with the kind of more difficult entrenched smoking problems, I still think that it's possible if you kind of know how to apply tapping for yourself and get results in the sense of complete freedom. We're certainly not talking about just sort of managing the problem with this. I have a sort of like three steps mm-hmm. to approaching smoking, which for me address the main areas that will probably mean that if somebody's applying it to sort of fairly straightforward and simple smoking problem, they can probably just be over it very, very quickly. And even with the more complex ones, it will take you into the deeper territory, and you may or may not feel that you want to get sort of more support with that. But the first step, Jean, is really to actually address the conflict of saying it as it is. You don't need to be 100% certain that you want to quit smoking to be able to quit smoking. And the majority of people have a kind of conflict about it. They do want to stop, and they don't want to stop. And so there's always really a conflict between what the conscious mind is saying, what the hell am I doing this for? I need to get over this. And yet there's some kind of resistance conflict going on at an unconscious or subconscious level. So actually it might not even be, you know, be unconscious or subconscious. You might be well aware that at certain times you just really want to smoke, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that's important for us to recognize with all the issues that we have, anything that we're struggling with.
Yeah, absolutely.
It serves us in some capacity. I can remember, you know, helping a friend initially with some tapping and around a smoking issue, and she managed a restaurant, and she had a crazy restaurant staff, and a cigarette was an excuse to get out of the kitchen for 7 minutes to get some sanity and get some fresh air. Yeah. And it wasn't even necessarily the cigarette itself, but it was this culturally acceptable thing in the restaurant industry. And in New York City, you can't smoke in a restaurant. So yeah, she had to go outside, and it was perfect. So every 2 hours, she had to leave all this craziness and this mayhem and got some quote unquote fresh air as she was filling her lungs with smoke.
Yeah. But I mean, I can understand that. Can't you? I mean, there's an obvious benefit in that, isn't there? I'd be quite happy to have 7 minutes freedom.
And so in approaching this, how important is it for someone to understand the subconscious or unconscious gain that they're getting from the cigarette when they're starting this approach?
You know, I'm not sure that anybody needs to actually kind of, you know, understand it. As long as they just state the conflict. So for instance, you'll be sort of tapping on both sides of the problem. So, you know, it might be, you know, even though I long to be free of smoking, and then alternating that with, you know, but I really want to do it. I crave this cigarette. I love smoking. You know, I hate smoking. I want to be free of this. Saying it as it is, that seems to be the important thing. Rather than the approach that a lot of people take, which is, look, I've got to get myself, you know, completely in the mindset set where I 100% want to stop before it'll be effective. That isn't the case. It's more about kind of saying it as it is and tapping on both sides of the conflict.
And I think what you said there is really important about this idea of acknowledging the fact that it's serving us in some way, but also recognizing that we don't have to know what it is. Because
yeah,
I think a lot of people get hung up either consciously as folks that have done lots of self-help work or unconsciously that I can't heal this until I understand why, because if I understand why, I'm going to prevent it from happening again, which is a reasonable thought to have, but
yeah,
they never move to a place of healing because of this necessity to, I have to know why, I have to know why, I have to know why. And
exactly,
it could be possible that we never make it to the why.
Yeah, exactly. And that constantly trying to figure out the why can lead you to be looking in the wrong place. You know,
right,
you're just looking in the wrong place. And once you let go of that and just say it as it is, you know, even though the thought of doing that might be scary, and you might have to actually start a step back and say, you know, even though I'm afraid to say it as it is,
right,
even though I don't want to say it as it is, but it's absolutely liberating to just say it as it is. Well, yeah, and actually, I don't advise people to go with like saying, part of me wants to do this, and
right,
you know, part of me wants to do it. I say it as it is, you know, just kind of come straight out with it. That seems to sort of just give the whole thing more energy and kind of more truth. And then it's like a you know, the thing starts to sort of unfold, and you get the next piece, and it's easy to follow. It's like we have to sort of break through our kind of, you know, our own sort of, you know, denial, really, I think, about the whole thing.
And so it sounds like in the three steps, so the first step, if I have this right, is kind of acknowledging the fact that there's this tension, there's a part that wants to release, and there's a part that doesn't, and that's the place we start. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So then what's the second step then?
And then the second step would be to move to the kind of the physical manifestation, or how you experience wanting to smoke. So it's like, you know, you ask yourself the question, now, how do I know I want to smoke? And for some people, that'll show up as a craving. They'll call it a craving. That word will make sense to them. Now, for other people, that word doesn't necessarily make sense. It might feel more, you know, like anxiety, or it might feel more like something sort of, you know, emotional. But equally, it can be physical in that there's an actual place in your body where you know it hurts or it feels tense or it tickles or something like that. So, you know, what's happening in your body? Where in your body do you feel it when you want to smoke? And you just really, if the word craving makes sense to you, then use that word in your tapping. Otherwise, you just use it, you know, let's say I feel a sort of like an anxious tightness in my chest, as an example, then that's I would just tune my mind into that felt sensation and tap just using those words, you know, this anxious tightness in my chest. You know, not worrying too much about doing proper setups and, you know, full phrases. Just, you know, use the words that come to mind, and don't worry about grammar and all that kind of thing. You know, this awful anxiousness in my chest. So just, you know, alternating the words a little bit so that you feel really engaged in it, really connected and like it. Yeah, that's how it feels for me. Sometimes people just think, well, I don't really feel anything in my body. It doesn't really feel very physical. I just have to have a cigarette. If you ask yourself a question like, you know, imagine that's your last cigarette. Imagine you can never smoke again. Kind of pretty quickly for most people, a sort of physical or physiological sensation will emerge, or you know, maybe an emotion, you know, like sadness or anger, whatever. You know, get kind of really interested in your process. So it's not about how this works for anybody else. These are, you know, questions that are absolutely, you know, unique to you. And you might find that when you're following through these physical feelings and emotions, that memories pop up as well. You know, whatever is showing up in your body related to the smoking will have kind of emotional threads dangling from it, which when you engage in the process of tapping, you know, it's like your sort of wise mind wants you to follow those threads. And there may be, you know, it's not that they necessarily mean something in the sense of telling you why you smoke. They're just somehow connected to it. And you just follow them with that, keeping a sort of mindset of, you know, observing it and thinking, oh, this is kind of, you know, I'm kind of curious about what's happening here. You can be doing really, really useful work. You know, doing it in a way that's, you know, it's not particularly painful. It's just kind of more interesting than painful.
And so as you're doing that, should you be, I don't know, capturing the things that come up so you can go back to tap to them? Or are you just tuning into today, as I imagine, that sensation, this is what it feels like, and tomorrow it might feel a little different, and each time I sit down to tap for it, it is what it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally you won't really need to sort of, you know, maybe write things down to come back to later, because it's like you sort of lose interest in it. If you have a fairly strong feeling physically or emotionally that emerges, if you just keep tapping, it will probably just pass through. And you may get, you know, fragments of memories. And you just, again, just sort of hold it in your mind as if you're just looking at a photo or looking at a movie. Maybe move it away from you so you're looking at it over on a wall, and that will probably pass through. Anything that doesn't pass through, then you do need to come back to. But generally, you know, as you're kind of you're sort of releasing the grip that the habit has on you, it's fairly fast. You know, and you know, the idea that you you need to spend hours and hours and come back to things over and over and over again is, I don't think that's the case. I really don't.
And so how long do you stick with something like this?
Well, I think that if you start to do some tapping when you're in the experience of mm-hmm. wanting a cigarette, but keep in mind that you're not telling yourself you can't have a cigarette. You've just kind of pledged to play around with the felt sense of that, with the craving sense of that before having a cigarette. The chances are that you will actually find yourself just losing interest in the whole thing, you know, way before you actually take a cigarette. And you might need to do that several times over in the beginning phases of it. You can do the tapping when you're not actually wanting a cigarette, not actually craving it in emotionally, physically, or any other way. But I don't think that's nearly as effective. It's like you don't quite get enough, you know, what I term sort of welly. You haven't quite got enough sort of energy engaged with it. But it's better to do bursts of, you know, quick and often tapping, rather than keep, you know, putting it off and saying, oh, well, I haven't got enough time now. You know, I need to have at least half an hour to do this. The thing is, you know when to stop, because you've just lost interest in the whole thing.
So then what is the next step after we move from there?
So the next step is, once you've got to the stage of, you know, being kind of upfront about, you know, the conflict that, you know, yeah, you know, I do and I don't want to stop smoking, and you've started to sort of interrupt the kind of, you know, the behaviour sequence by, you know, addressing the you know, where you feel it in your body, you've already started the process of quitting, and now you can start to sort of take it further in terms of sort of releasing the tentacles that the whole thing has on you. And the easiest way to do that, and this is like the third step, is to go through, you know, all of the scenarios, you know, where, when, and who with that you usually smoke or you have smoked in the past. And just use the frame of, you know, I always smoke when, let's say, you know, I always smoke when it gets to, you know, 11 o'clock mid-morning, or you always smoke when you've had a meal or a drink or something like that. So I always smoke when is a good starting place. And I have to smoke when or if. Think about, you know, where it is that you have to smoke. Think about the occasions. The idea of having to is quite important. So think about the things that that you believe or you have believed that you couldn't do without it. So I couldn't do, I'm just thinking of an example of somebody that couldn't go out and get the bus. I'm not sure if bus is the right word for you, but coach, I think, might be the right word. Couldn't go out in the morning, going out to work. Literally couldn't leave the house to go and get the transport to work, you know, without having a cigarette. So it doesn't need to necessarily be, you know, a big thing, you know, like something that you feel anxious about. But in terms of the sort of day-to-day sequence of things, she couldn't go on without having the cigarette. So this tapping to interrupt these kind of sequences that become so sort of normal and, you know, the day-to-day stuff is really, really important. Because in you know, our brain, if we always do something, our brain registers that as important, and, you know, fires off the appropriate neurochemicals that register it as important. And that's where, you know, dopamine comes into the frame. And that dopamine is what gives us that sense of craving, of having to have the thing. So, you know, all these little sort of rituals that might not seem important in their own right, they're all kind of, you know, keeping you sort of enmeshed in the problem. And when we stop doing them, you know, we do experience that as a loss. But it's absolutely sure that if you tap in advance of being in these situations, then when you come to those points in time, quite quickly, they often just kind of go past, and then you realise, oh, you know, I used to have a cigarette then, and I haven't done. And the more you go on like this, the more you kind of get a sense of your own power in being able to deal with it. And that can, you know, that can literally happen over a matter of days.
And I think one of the things that's interesting is you're talking about those questions of, I have to do it here, or what can I can't do without it. When we give ourselves enough space to simply ask those questions, how quickly that information kind of comes piling forward. It's almost as if, like, is this revelation? It's like, oh, this is what it is. And it's almost a surprise how quickly that information comes when we take a deep breath and just give ourselves the space to ask that question.
Exactly. You know, because whenever you're stuck in any kind of sort of habitual behavior, your thinking becomes so narrow. You get, you know, it's at the point where it's become a problem because you want to stop doing it. And, you know, that narrowing of the thinking, it's, you know, it depresses our creativity. And in doing that, we kind of don't have our resources to get ourselves out of it. But everybody can get out of, you know, anything that they're doing, you know, however, you know, serious or complex it might seem. Everybody has really got the answers and the resources inside themselves.
So as you're doing this and you're tapping on your own, what point do you get to where you go, you know what, this one's actually too big for me. This is one that I need to be working with someone who is a professional in tapping to be able to help me through this issue?
Well, I think if you, you know, you kind of follow guidance, you know, where you can, and you're not getting kind of a sense of, yeah, you know, this is working, I understand this, you know, I feel in charge of this process, and so you're just not getting the results, and you're starting to feel that, you know, classic kind of thoughts like, oh, this will work for everybody else but not me, you know, my problem is much bigger than anyone else's. Those are the times when to just kind of just make that the end point, and go to a professional, go to somebody, you know, that's creative and experienced in working in, you know, in the area that smoking we're talking about now specifically, but, you know, actually goes for any kind of problem. You know, don't keep banging your head against a brick wall. These techniques, they do work, and there's some very, very good people to help you out there. And it's really not like, you know, it's not like having to go to counselling, you know, every day for 5 years, or, you know, every week for 5 years, or psychotherapy. Usually, if you're really interested in helping yourself and using these tools to empower yourself, and you go to the right kind of person, they will be equally happy to just, you know, to do a few sessions with you to get you past the block, and will be more than happy that you're able to go on yourself, and will kind of, you know, delight in your success in doing that.
Excellent. Well, good. Well, Sue, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
So there you go. Lots of good, useful stuff. If you'd like more information on how you can approach smoking issues with EFT, or more information on Sue and all of her great stuff, all you need to do is go to tappingqandapodcast.com, click on the link for episode 111, and you'll see all of Sue's contact information. If you are listening to this podcast in the website, you'll just look up above the player right there, and you will see all of her information. I'd really encourage you to check out the podcast archive. We have over 71 hours now of free content in the podcast archive. Sorry, I was doing the math there in my head because we keep adding stuff every single week. Go check it out. Every topic that you can imagine under the sun, we got something on it. They're free of charge. Download them, listen to them, re-listen to them, tap along to them. Lots of really, really great stuff there. TappingQ&APodcast.com, where you can find all of your instructional needs. If you'd like to win a free one-on-one session with me, I didn't mention it up front, you too can win one. The winner this week was Rick. I didn't mention him at the beginning of the show. All you need to do is send me a note with smoking cessation as part of it, and I will put you in the drawing. Send a note to gene@tappingqa.com, or just click on the contact link on the website. If you tell me your favorite part of the podcast or what you've learned from it, I'll enter you in the drawing twice. I've been loving the emails I've gotten since we started doing this and adding the double up, where if you tell me what you like, you get in a second time. I've really loved the insights that you've noticed, things in the shows that I haven't noticed that I've learned from. So take your time. Let me know what your favorite part of this episode was, and I'll get you in the drawing twice. Like I said at the beginning, make sure you check out our free guide for stopping self-sabotage. Just go to tappingqa.com/guide. As always, be our ambassador. Share with your friends. Share with your loved ones. Don't spam someone's inbox. Don't send this to everybody you know. But there's someone in your life who might be able to use this resource. Please be our ambassador. Pass this along. It would be a shame if a free resource like this didn't make it into the hand of someone who could use it. If you have a guest request, if you have a topic you'd like to see covered, if you have a question about anything at all, send me a note, gene@tappingqa.com. Doesn't go to an assistant, doesn't go to a VA. I get it. You'll hear back from me. For the Tapping Q&A podcast, this is Gene Montristelli. I hope you have a great day, and I will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye. The Tapping Q&A podcast is copyright Gene Montristelli, Tapping Q&A 2013. All views expressed by guests on the show are those of the guests and not necessarily of Gene Montristelli or Tapping Q&A.